Okay. Now, before I give the word, I'm going to just sing a song that, to me, is very relevant to what I'm going to say, and it is very relevant to everything that's been said all morning. So it's just lovely how God brings everything together. Half a dozen sermons off that, I should imagine. But I'm not a scholar. I'm just a humble Christian who just wants to share God's love with you this morning. Love will find you. I love that song. I must just say, the first time I sang that was in a prison. Andrew and I had been asked to go with some other people to help to bring the gospel to these young prisoners. It was a young offender's place.
That was the maximum security.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, yeah. Whatever it was, anyway. been in
quite
a few.
It was a baptism of fire.
Yeah, and I sang that song, and I suddenly, I don't know if it was me who thought about it or Andrew thought about it, but the word, you know, no chains too strong. And this young man came up to me afterwards and he actually said to me, if Jesus sets me free, why can't I walk out of here tonight? And I was very bold in them days and I said, look, you've done the crime, you've got to do the time. But he took it, well, you know, I didn't say it in a nasty way, but whenever I sing that song, I always think about that. Sometimes we don't think about the things we say to people. But I do pray that the words of that song will go deep in your hearts as it does mine. I'm just going to read a part of Psalm 139. You don't have to... you can read it as well. I think, you know, reading God's word is so important. But this really, you know, goes along with the song that I've just sung. Read the whole psalm yourself when you get home. It's a beautiful psalm. It's one of my very favourites. But from verse 7 it says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Even the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then verse 18, the second half, I love it. It says, when I awake, I am still with you. You know, whether we're awake, asleep, in the deepest pit, wherever we are, God is there with us. And even when we're far away from God, his love reaches us. God is only a prayer away. I think the main thrust of what I wanted to say this morning was, it doesn't matter how far away from God you feel, he's never left. He is right there beside you. And this is just, by the way, I read in my daily readings recently, and I thought it was so lovely. There's such a depth of this little nugget that I read. A little boy was asked to learn the 23rd Psalm to read in church or in Sunday school. I'm not even sure where it was he was going to read it, but he just couldn't remember it. And so when he got up to speak, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I know. And it has two ways, you see, and that's all we need to know. The Lord is our shepherd. And it's just so deep, that is. I just love that, so I've just shoved that in just for good measure. The first parable that Andrew read, like I say, there's three parables there, but I didn't realise this until... It's wonderful when you study the Bible, when you have to for whatever reason. You study the Bible and things you didn't realise come to light. But these three parables are together for a purpose, because they're all about something being lost and being found. And the first parable speaks about the 99 sheep that were safe. I suddenly thought yesterday while I was pondering on it, there's more to this than meets the eye. But I'm not majoring on the 99 sheep this morning. That for whatever reason they were safe in the fold, that's the main thrust, that they were safe. Say we're the 99 sheep this morning. We're safe, we're here in the fold. But one sheep was missing. And the shepherd was bothered about that one sheep. He had 99, he could have said, what's one? I've got 99. But no, he cared about that one sheep that was lost. And that's how God is about us. When one of us is missing, when one of us isn't here, as it were, God is concerned, and he wants us to be concerned as well. Recently, someone that did come to the church, who isn't with us at the moment, burdened my heart so much because of the sadness and sorrow that this person's going through. And it wasn't just my conscience telling me to care about her and pray about her and ring her. It was God, the love of God in me, compelling me. And I feel, even that's not in my notes, but I feel this morning that is what God is saying to us, you know. We're all safe here, but there's always the one that needs our love and our compassion. God is concerned about the one. He's the shepherd. He's looking out for us when we stray, desiring for us to come back to the flock. And I term the flock the church this morning. So we should look out for one another and care like God cares. Matthew 18 verse 14 says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So, you know, we know that it's that some will go to hell one day, but it's not God's will that that should happen. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and we have a choice, but it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. In the second parable, the woman had lost a coin, and it might seem insignificant, but yet that's another story that I learn more about as I read my Bible. The coin was one of a piece that I think went across the forehead, and there was 10 coins on the in this piece. It was a garland that a married woman wore specifically, and it was a symbol of her status, and she'd lost one of the coins off this garland, and you know, it really upset her. It was important to her, that one coin. So she swept the house, she searched under the bed. I was looking for something yesterday and gave up in the end. I said to Andrew, "I'm just going to buy another one." It's actually a balloon pump. I had a clue where it is, but I'd give up. You know, it's just as easy to get the toner shop and get another one. But, you know, there's been other times when we've searched for something that is important, that is vitally important, and you just keep on, and you go over the same ground. You keep going over the same ground looking for this thing that you can't find. And I'm sure that's what this lady did. And she found the piece, and she was overjoyed, and, you know, had a party with her friends because she found it. Her garland was incomplete without that coin. The church is incomplete when one of us is missing. Sometimes more than one of us, but the church is incomplete when one of us is missing. You know, the Bible says that we all come with a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song when we come to church. So if somebody doesn't come and God's got something for them to bring, we're incomplete without that. We've lost out that Sunday because or that meeting, whenever it is, when we get together. So the church is incomplete when one of us is missing. We're all important to each other, and we make up one body in Christ. We're sad when someone's missing for whatever reason, but just think how much more it grieves God's heart when someone's missing. As I said, the woman did everything she could to find the coin. God does the same. He uses us to restore a lost brother or sister. He prompts us to give someone a ring. He prompts us to take a gift to a friend. He prompts us. God, we're his hands and feet and his mouth, and he uses us to show the love that he has for us towards each other. In the third parable, which is a lot more complicated than the first two were just one thing was lost and then it was found. But we see how the son, he took everything he could from his father. You know, and I do think sometimes we're like that. We take everything we can get from God, and without thinking of giving back. But this son, in the natural, he wanted his inheritance now. He didn't want to wait till his father died. It was almost like he wished his father dead because he wanted his inheritance. But in those days, the father could give the inheritance prior to death. So the son asked for his money, his whatever, and the father gave it to him willingly because it wasn't the best for him, but the father loved him, so he gave him what he asked for. So he took everything he could, and then he went as far away as he could to enjoy it. He didn't just go down the road, set up in business or whatever. He went off as far as he could get away from his father and the house, and spent everything he got, as Andrew said in the parable. The father was still thinking about him, even though he really had blown it. You know, his father should have been very angry with him, but his father was still thinking about him, and he longed for his return. His father knew best. His father knew that it wasn't going to be good wherever he'd gone, but his father had to let him go, but he longed for his return. And I would think that it says that the father saw the son afar off. But personally, I think that that father had looked out down the road every single day since the son left. Not just the day that he came back, but I reckon he scoured the horizon every single day, longing for that son to just come up the road to him. And God also stands and waits for us to come back when we walk away from him. You know, God has the best for us. I've put down here, God wants us to have abundant life with all the good things that he wants to bless us with. And he knows what's best for us. Just like that father. God, when we turn our back on God for even a moment, God is there longing for us to turn around and to trust him and to stay close to him. I'd just like to read Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Trust in the Lord. We're not promised an easy life, but we are promised that as we trust God, he will help us in all our ways. He gives us strength, courage, hope, love, peace, and so much more. There is nothing that God can't or won't be with us in. Whatever our situation, God's right there with us. It could be the biggest mess in the world, but God is right there with us. It could be the most glorious, wonderful happening that's happening to us, and God is right there with us. When we look to him as our source, he is a faithful God. If we were the only person on earth, God would still have sent Jesus to die for us. I've heard that so many times, but it's something that needs reminding ourselves of. He would have sent Jesus to die for us and the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us, even if we'd been the only person on earth. He is concerned about us individually. And that's what these parables, I believe, are saying, that God is concerned about the individual, the one sheep. He loved the 99 and just as much, but they weren't away from him. He loved the one and sought the one because he knew he wasn't having the best that God could give him. And the same with the coin, it was precious to that lady, just as we are precious to God. And the prodigal son. God gives us what we want very often, not what's best for us. But he allows us to have our head, as it were, and then just waits for us to realise the folly and come back to him. The wonderful thing about the prodigal son was that he'd rehearsed what he was going to say to his father. He was quite happy to be his servant, but the father didn't even let him finish. As soon as he said he was sorry, the father hugged him and loved him and welcomed him back. He didn't have to grovel. God doesn't want us to grovel, he just wants us to realise and come back. So if today you're feeling alone and you can't find God, just turn around. God hasn't moved, as I've said. Maybe we have. Maybe we don't realise how far we've moved. But we only have to turn around and God's right behind us, and I think that's wonderful. And he's waiting with open arms to envelop us in his embrace of love. When Jesus died on the cross, his arms were spread wide. You may ask him, how much do you love me? And Jesus says, this much. And that's just how much God loves us. Jesus loves us. And I was reminded of a song we used to sing when I was a kid. Well, when I first got saved at 21. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. And I just wanted, like the little boy, to say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I know. Amen. Thank you.